Monday. National title tonight. The ladies crowned their national champion last night. Congratulations to South Carolina on a perfect season. We're going to touch on all these things coming up right now. I want to hear from you. 303-713-1043. RamosLaw.com text line. I mentioned the Avs dealing with some injuries as the Nuggets are trying to get everyone back. Let's start with the Nuggets getting Jamal Murray back. They were without Aaron Gordon, but didn't need him on a Saturday night against the Hawks. They made a season-high 23 threes. And also Stoke maybe just score 130 every night because they're 11-0 when they do that, right? Simple formula, score 130 points.
Yeah, 130, 140, 150. I mean, that usually gets you a win, right?
It should, depending on who's on the floor defensively in crunch time. But they are dominating on Saturday night. The bench was back to being the bench and contributing with 58 overall points. Looks like they were kind of back to form for the first time in a very, very long game. Stoke with Jamal Murray, with Aaron Gordon, MPJ, the rest of the starters. What do you think is the best way to handle the minute restrictions, whatever it may be, rest nights in the final four games, one of which comes Wednesday and means a whole lot more than the other three?
I think Wednesday, I'm still starting the starters. And Aaron Gordon, if his foot's bothering him, he doesn't, you know, have to play. Jamal, I think you got to be cautious with just having played one game in the past couple weeks, and that was last game. So I'm going to be cautious with him, but everybody else I'm playing, and I'm hoping that I don't have to play him extended minutes and that we can give him a rest. So because the Minnesota game is obviously the most important one, but the Minnesota game becomes a lot less important if you lose that game against the Jazz. So I don't want to go into that game saying, oh, yeah, no, we're just going to play all backup guys. Well, you're going to lose if you do that. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to lose to the Jazz. So you got to win that basketball game. And that's the hard part here is navigating those waters coming down the stretch of keeping guys fresh and healthy, but also you still got to play ball. I mean, if you start shutting guys down now, I mean, you're going to have a 10-plus day break before the playoffs. That's too long for me. So You got a tricky one here with the game coming up against Utah and then having to turn around and play Minnesota the next night. But so does Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
They're back-to-back also. And they got a game at home, and then they travel here to face the Nuggets. So they're also playing a not a very good team in their first game, and the Wizards. So we'll see how they navigate those waters and what it looks like.
Yeah, you're right, man. You made a good point because, like I told you earlier, I'm already overlooking the Jazz, and I don't even play. Like they got to go and do that. They got to make the trip, and I'm already overlooking this team that goes, yeah, you don't need the guys for 30 minutes to beat that squad. But it's also, if you got the right group of guys, Stoke, you get to play spoiler a little bit, right? Like Washington, Memphis, I think, as what's Memphis, the final game of the regular season. Those guys don't have a ton to play for. I don't know how much pride is with that group that's currently constructed there. But look at Utah, a couple of young guys going, hey, this is a team we're going to play a lot. They're in our division. We're going to have to face Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray if we're in Utah for the rest of our careers, basically. Why don't we spoil their number one seed as our kind of big moment as the regular season is coming to an end? I'd look at it like that. If I'm on the Jazz, that's certainly my approach.
Yeah, I mean, they're a 29-win team.
Yeah.
You know, they're not a 15-win team like the team that's Minnesota's playing, right? So, I mean, this is a competent team, and you know, we'll see. I don't know if they got their guy, I can't pronounce it, Laurel?
Markkanen?
Markkanen?
Yeah, Markkanen.
How do you pronounce his first name?
Laurie?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. I don't know. He's been off and on injured, so I don't know if he's playing here lately and who they have in the lineup for him. See, he didn't play last game. Obviously they're a little bit different team without him in the lineup. So it's we'll see. We'll see what it looks like for him and his health. But certainly for the Nuggets, I mean, I do think it's important. I do. I want that number one seed. And I think I also want to be healthy, but I also want to stay going in the right direction here. Because all of a sudden, in my experiences in football, when you start to kind of pull back and start resting guys too much, you just lose your edge.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep playing. Just keep going. And, you know, if something happens and someone gets hurt, God, I mean, like, that's just the way it is. It's sports, unfortunately, and hopefully that doesn't happen here. And we can stay healthy, still play a little basketball, get the number one seed, and not be like a rusty basketball team heading into the playoffs.
So if you got to write the script, right, and it's the Nuggets game plan, and it works out perfectly for the Denver Nuggets, you play the guys for a good chunk of the game tomorrow, and hopefully you handle your business against Utah, shut them down for the fourth quarter. All systems go Wednesday. And let's say you win both of these games.
Okay.
You have two games left at San Antonio and at Memphis. What would you do then with two wins this week? And, I mean, you'd all but have the number one seed locked up.
Well, I don't know about that.
I mean, if you lose both games.
Because I don't know about the tiebreaker here.
Minnesota has it right now.
Right, but if you win, now you're tied for the season long, right? So mm-hmm. what's the tiebreaker if your head-to-head matchups are tied? Right.
Yeah, I don't know that.
So that would be a big deal in that situation if you are able to beat them. So, I mean, ideally for me is like just keep playing these guys a little bit, and certainly if you have the number one seed locked up, I would handle it a little bit differently. But I want them to get out on the court, play a little basketball, and not be completely rusty going into the playoffs. But at the same time, Josh, if you do have the number one seed
mm-hmm.
locked up. I could see a scenario where you just rest the guys the last two games.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if you don't, I think you got to play them a little bit and keep moving forward. Do you have something?
I just looking at the rules. Better winning percentage against each other. Obviously a tiebreaker. Division winner. Obviously in the same division. It changes. Better winning percentage against teams in their own division if teams are tied within the same division. So I was trying to figure out. Yep, not good. The Timberwolves are 12-3 in the Northwest Division, and the Denver Nuggets are 8-6.
Well, there you go.
They have the tiebreaker if all things are equal on the last day of the regular season.
Yeah, and obviously if you don't have it locked up, and then you probably is going to rust some guys one way or the other, because at that point, look, I'm not fighting for the number two seed here.
Mm-hmm.
Your first priority is to get healthy, and then you just trust your team. They are a veteran team.
Yeah.
And but I think right now that's my mindset is and that's tomorrow night, the game.
Tomorrow night in Utah.
Tomorrow night in Utah, then home Wednesday is I'm playing to win both of these games, and then let's look and see what it looks like after that.
Okay. I always, you know what else I was thinking about? You said this a couple weeks ago and it's kind of stuck with me about your practices in Indy. And I think you said that Thursday practice. Like that Thursday practice you guys got after it.
Yeah.
Was that weekly, or was that just leading into the playoffs?
No, that was weekly.
Oh, that was weekly.
Yeah, that's every week. It didn't matter if it was the third week, second week, 15th week. It was a grind is what it was.
So when you guys had, because that was always kind of the cold story, like, hey, first round bye, what's going to happen? They're playing so hot right now. Did you still ramp up? Did you still have that tough Thursday practice, or was it almost like let's approach with caution because we do need everybody for that first divisional round game?
Well, it depended on where you were at in the regular season. Like if you were going into the game and, you know, we had once or twice where it felt like we were playing the Broncos late in the season. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, we're going to, you know, certain guys aren't going to play in this game, are going to be limited. So you would work on your stuff. But you would also give those guys an opportunity that are going to be playing the backups more opportunities in practice. And so, because you're trying to get healthy mm-hmm. and get ready to go for the following week when it really matters the most. So it kind of depended on who you're playing, what your situation was. And, you know, every person was viewed a little bit differently
sure.
depending on who you were and how healthy you were.
The reason I was asking this is because I kind of think about the 6 days they're going to have between game 82 and then one of the NBA postseason, just how they would approach it. And could you, because you're right, man, your concerns about game fatigue and not being up for it, it's real. I get that for sure. But I just wonder, can they counter some of that with how they approach the 6 days they're going
to
have off?
Yeah, I think to a certain degree, but it's still not the same.
Yeah, you're right.
But you're going to have a little bit of a break regardless. That's just what it is. Right? Because mm-hmm. you're not doing the play-in game. So there is going to be a break there. I think you're going to, you probably see some of those, a couple scrimmages there. You're doing conditioning, right? And all of those things to stay sharp. So look, I think if they handle it the right way, they'll be fine. obviously last year they were probably in the same situation, and even more so because they had the number one seed locked up for an extended period of time.
Since January. Literally, they were 10 games up. Like, December they took over, and then they were up like 10 games since like January.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, and it worked out well for them last year. So if you got the right guys and they handle it the right way, then hopefully it's not an issue.
Good question here on the RamosLaw.com text line from Christian up in Longmont. Says, I'm a bit worried about the Nuggets' big man depth for this playoff push. Who's going to step up and fill those minutes behind Joker and AG? Zeke and DJ are capable, but limited. Curious what your guys' thoughts are on that. You know what, Christian? You and I were worried about the same things, my man, because I think Stokes with me. If you've listened to the show at all, you know I and we are not believers in Zeke Nnaji. If I got to call the shots, he's not playing in the postseason if I'm making the choices down there. DJ, I like. I think he's good for a couple of minutes. Rim protector, can rebound, can put a big body in front of in the paint to help change some shot trajectories for players coming in. But it seems like I feel like that, and Coach Malone does not feel like that. So, Christian, I'm with you. The good news is you only need guys behind Joker and AG for 6 minutes instead of 12 or 14 once the postseason starts, but that is a concern, Stoke.
Yeah, of course it is. Big concern. I mean, who did they have last year behind Jokic? Who was it last year?
Well, they'd use Jeff Bryant. Green. Remember that? Jeff Green would be the small
Jeff
ball
Green.
Five.
Yeah, so, but it wasn't like you had great solutions last year.
No.
That's my point here. And so it kind of is what it is. But I'm with you. For some reason, it's like DeAndre Jordan, every time he plays, it just seems like he plays really good.
Yeah.
He doesn't play a lot, but when he does, it seems like it's really good, and he just, Michael Malone doesn't put him out there a lot. I know he's a little bit older, but it's constantly, you know, when Zeke Nnaji's healthy, it's always Zeke Nnaji. And so for, I don't know, man, I kind of thinking, like, you're not going to play him this much if you're not going to play him in the playoffs, are you? Why are you playing Zeke Nnaji this much if you don't have plans to play him in the playoff? I think your best option is DeAndre Jordan. I don't know. That's just what I see with my eyes. And but, you know, you didn't see him play against the Hawks last game, so I don't know. But obviously, yeah, that's a concern. I think the whole bench is a concern.
Yeah.
And but certainly when you look at the big man depth, yeah, it's lacking.
Yeah, some we're worried about with you, Christian. TBD on how they handle that and who gets those minutes behind the big fellas when the postseason actually starts. All right, switch gears here. Ball Arena Bros. Other side of this is the Colorado Avalanche. And obviously, you saw on Friday night in Edmonton, Miko, he took a big hit. Who was it? Matthias Ekholm, I think, is the one that made the hit there on the boards. Now, he lays him out. Miko takes a couple minutes to get up, and then Stoke, it was bad. When he gets up, you know, he's woozy, he's wobbly, needed some help from the referee to even get back to the bench. I did listen last night, and the ESPN crew said, hey, he's already skating. This shouldn't be a long-term kind of lingering effect. But here's what Jared Bednar had to say after the hit on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you guys saw what happened, right? So he takes the hit. And he was unable to continue. So he'll be under evaluation for a while.
Bednar says a while. That's when I'm like, whoa, well, what's a while here? Talk, you know, clock is ticking, coach. We're 12 days away from you guys playing in a playoff game. But then, as I said, ESPN had the report last night. Hey, he's back on the ice. He's hopeful to be with the team at the end of this week. So that's good news for Mikko Rantanen and his what looked like clearly a concussion.
Yeah, you know, everyone's different concussion-wise. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's, you know, sometimes the major effects are, you know, a couple days after. But hopefully in this situation, he just progresses through their protocols and is healthy for the playoffs. But that's certainly not anything you want to be dealing with when it's playoff time. So you're going to be very cautious. They've already made the playoffs, so they're in. So you're going to be cautious with him heading into the playoffs, and hopefully he's good to go by then because, you know, like we talked about early, when you look at them defensively, when you look at their goalie situation, I mean, your dudes are going to have to play well.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to step up and get it done.
Yeah.
And that's MacKinnon, that's Makar, that's Val, and that's Rantanen. And so if one of those guys is out of the lineup, it's going to make winning at all very, very – it's already going to be hard, but it's going to make it extremely difficult. So need that guy to get back healthy, and hopefully we'll see him back out there at the latest playoff time.
Yeah. I actually have a question for Drew Spivak, our resident hockey guy here. That hit Friday night. I know they kind of got mixed up, but why didn't anybody punch him in the face?
Because it was clean.
Okay.
It was a clean hit. Okay. I mean, I know the hockey code says if one of your stars takes a hit, you're supposed to go and dip the other dude. But, I mean, there was nothing bad about it. It was just, you know, Mika kind of got caught with his head down a little bit, and Ekholm lit him up. To me, it was a clean hit. Nothing to see here. It sucks that he got hurt. It's unfortunately, it's part of the game, but, you know, hopefully it's nothing too serious. But, yeah, to me, I thought it was a clean hit.
Okay. I get that part of it. Like, Mika had his head down. Looking at the puck rather than the player coming in to him at the boards. But I don't know. I just thought of it like, hey, that's a star player. You know, if someone came in here and took you out with your head down, I'm probably going to punch them in the face.
Yeah. I mean, hockey is, you know, they police themselves. So yeah. I don't know.
Same with radio.
Same with radio. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I got your back, man.
So if Zach comes in here and tries to mess around.
I got to go after Zach.
Yeah, okay, perfect. I like that. I like knowing that. I didn't know that was also an unwritten rule of radio, but that's good to know. I appreciate that. I guess, like, every situation when it comes down to things like that's a little bit different, right? Because, you know, how do you handle it? How do you view it as a team? If it's a clean hit, to me, okay, like, hey, I mean, what are you doing here? You're just fighting a fight? If it's a dirty hit, you're going to stick up for your guy. So I think there's a fine line there. And, you know, if they didn't view it as a dirty hit, then like, hey, all right, hey, this is sports. This is hockey.
Yeah.
Things like this happen, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they happen. So hopefully he can get healthy. I mean, that's where I'm at with this, and hopefully it doesn't linger.
Yeah,
and you know, he can be fully healthy for the playoffs.
Looking at a tweet right now from Jesse Montano of Guerrilla Sports. Mika skating on his own. That's at Ball Arena. Yeah, so he's out there doing the work. Let's hope he can get back on the ice and contribute before the postseason actually begins. The giant elephant in the room, though, Stoke, when it comes to the Avalanche, is goaltending. Do they have a goaltending problem? Do they have a controversy as to who should be 1A when the postseason actually starts? Alexander Georgiev struggled last night, but Jared Bednar isn't pointing his finger right at the goaltender.
I thought he was great tonight. I did. I think you can't fault him on any of the goals. I think the probably one that he liked back was the one that squeaked through him on the quick slip to the middle on the power play. But, I mean, he was good. I mean, we just, the quality, well, and quantity, like the defending breakdowns that we had, we did some dumb stuff today. and they all led to, like, really good scoring chances against. And then, you know, we got beat off the walls a few times, created some more scoring chances against, and... You know, we looked like for a while there in the game, we were leaving early without the puck, and they played underneath us, checked the puck back, and got some good scoring chances too. But all in all, I thought he had a good night. We just weren't good enough defensively.
And look, I think he's right about that. They weren't good enough defensively. You can go back a couple of games where the Oilers scored 6 goals on 47 shots, and then the Stars did it on 36 shots last night. And it was 9-1 early on when Georgiev was standing on his head. That stuff all just caught up to him very quickly. I'm not pointing all of my finger. I'm not giving all the blame to Alexander Georgiev, Stoke, but there's a couple of things, like the rebounds and stuff, of just not finding the puck as quickly as I think he probably could, and I'm not the one doing it, but just, you know, that's kind of what I'm seeing from him. And I told you earlier, man, it just looks like he has questions about himself the way we have questions about himself, and once a, you know, goaltender has lost some of that confidence, man, that could be a big, big problem.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's, you know, that's one of the biggest question marks. Obviously, it's an important position, but heading into the playoffs is like, okay, what's it going to look like playoff time with Georgie and Annunen? And is there going to be a rotation there? What's it going to look like? So, I it's got to be a concern. But it's not, like you look at the box score, it's like, oh, 7 goals. He played terrible, and that's not how Bednar saw it. Yesterday and last night. And so, you know, it's like, okay, it's not always your fault as a goalie. You got to have people in front of you mm-hmm. doing their job and helping you out in certain situations and not putting, you know, yourself in a power play. And then when you are, you got to make a couple big saves and not give up 3 goals in a power play like last night against the Stars. So biggest question mark going to the playoffs is the goalie. All good. hopefully one of them steps up and kind of takes over and says, all right, I'm ready for this, and gets hot. That's all you can hope for. And then, you know, like you've said all year, this is a team built to score.
Yeah.
Now, you can't give up seven and expect to win, but, right. you know, hey, this is a team that's built to score four or five a game and win games in high score and fashion.
Yeah, that's put a lot of that pressure on the guys that are supposed to be doing that end of it, scoring those goals, and they weren't able to do so on Friday and Sunday evening. All right, 303-713-1043, RamosLive.com text line. Join the show. Participate right there. I see a few of you guys asking questions about college buckets that we're going to get to coming up at 12:30. But real quick, Stoke, this text, where'd it go here? Oh, here we go, from the 970. Again, our people. You guys haven't mentioned the eclipse once.
Oh, are we supposed to?
I guess.
We talk sports. I don't talk the solar space okay. stuff. That's not my. And if you're tuning in to hear me talk about the eclipse, I'm sorry, brother. I don't like. What do you want my opinion on it? It's going to get dark for a little bit, and then that's it.
Right.
I, like for me, you know how I roll. I'll see some pictures of it, whatever. I really don't care. Is it what time? What time, Chicken?
I think
fingers.
It's happening now.
It's happening now. Like you can actually kind of tell it's already getting like a weird tinted shade of dark out there, kind of.
So okay. I've said some stupid things on the radio show, right?
Yeah.
We're in a trust tree.
A bunch.
You know, I'll
seem like you're an eclipse guy.
I'll go with some, but you could go with a bunch. Now, the eclipse that, like, the rich kids at Northland High School drove in 1998.
Yeah,
down with that for sure. Yeah. Like, hey, can you take me to lunch, John? And the answer was always no. But this kind of eclipse, like, why should I care?
What's the point? Because it happens once every, you know, 20, 25 years, 30, I don't, you know, long. It is a long time in between eclipses. And it's something different, you know? So,
does it do anything for the earth or the atmosphere or
No, I don't.
Are the waves different in the ocean today?
Yeah, you'll probably there's some weird things that happen.
Okay.
I think the magnetic forces pull a little bit different direction. You didn't know that?
No, I'm learning from you.
I don't know if I know that. I'm just speaking, trying to use some big words here.
Seriously,
because it just doesn't happen that often. And so it is kind of cool like that because, you know, this happens once every, let's say, 25 years, and, you know, it's the middle of the day, and it kind of gets dark, and, okay, there's our eclipse talk. I'm done.
Okay.
You know, it did happen, like, 6 years ago.
Yeah, but...
not 25 years ago.
No. Check the next one, then, buddy. When's the next one happening? You better put some respect if you want to come at Stokely like that. That's all I'm saying. All right? You better be ready to throw. You better have more than that if you're going to come at me like that. You see him trying to take a shot
at
me?
I like that.
When's the next one, big boy?
All right, hold on. I'm looking.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google that real quick.
Yeah.
I wondered, like...
It's going to be in 2040-something, I think.
Okay.
Or 30-something, I think.
So you do have a little bit of insight on this.
Well, I was reading up this morning.
Actually, no, you're right. The next one is actually in 2044. So well done. Yeah, but it did just happen 6 years ago.
Exactly. Yep.
Or 7 years ago, I guess it was.
Are the crystal people, and I'm not, you do whatever you want to do, but like, are they charging their crystals during the eclipse?
I think it's probably a great time to charge
Mercury drinking Gatorade or whatever happens then?
Yeah. It's something for those people. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good day for them.
So like your protection stones are being charged up right now.
Yeah. And then they don't get charged when the moon gets in front of the sun.
Yes.
It's like, because you got no light. You can't charge without light.
Okay.
And then right when, like that, I think that's probably the biggest charging time is right when the moon gets out of the way, and then there it is again, light. Yeah,
okay.
And your crystals will be fully charged.
Okay.
And ready to go.
Could it help get some people's power back?
Yeah, that would be nice. Is this eclipse going to put power back to my home?
I'm not sure about all that.
I can take a shower in the light.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, I don't know, do you...
No, like just with light.
Oh, okay.
I took a shower last night, but Kelsey had her iPhone flashlight just standing there watching. That was how I showered.
Oh, nice.
So I might have to come to your house later tonight.
Yeah, perfect. I thought you said you're good now.
Well, maybe I just want to come and hang out with you.
Busy.
You just got back. How could you be? You got honeydew.
Very busy. A lot of stuff. Yeah. A lot of things going on.
Another quick question about things that we don't understand. Did you watch WrestleMania last night?
No, I didn't even know. I'm not a big wrestling guy. A lot of people still are, though, which surprised me like 4 or 5 years ago. But there is. That's very popular still.
Pat McAfee did a 4-hour show on it this
week. Right. Yeah, exactly.
That was interesting to me. I'm not a big wrestling guy. I was as a kid, right? Bret the Hitman Hart, best there is, best there was, best there ever will be. It was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
I got to high-five him at McNichols once. Like,
did you really?
Got the glasses and everything. It was a big moment of my life. But outside of that, you know, I kind of moved on.
Grew up?
Grew up, yeah.
Matured?
I got friends and was interested in dating.
Yeah, other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, like, it's you know, you could see why. I mean, they do some entertaining stuff, yeah. though. So,
would it surprise you to know that my grandfather once got arrested because he jumped into the ring to try to fist fight Ric Flair because he thought it was so real?
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's a true story.
Well, that is funny. And what happened to Grandpa?
He went to jail.
Okay.
Is there video of this?
Why?
No, this was pre-video. This was sometime in the 70s. But yeah, that's, it's the cloth that I was cut from.
There you go. Makes sense. All makes sense.
All right. Are you into the eclipse or do you simply have a Mitsubishi eclipse? Let us know. 303-713-1043. We'll talk a little bit about Caitlin Clark. What's her legacy? And a texter asked us, would we draft Zach Edey if we were an NBA GM? Does our answer change if he's a champion later tonight? We'll answer that next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
I can't remember everything we said, but we said it all. You told me that you wish I was somebody you never met.
And then I threw a chair off the roof of a building. You like that remix?
That's pretty good. I don't know. I don't think that happened. It's the buddy just dropped it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do we know that he actually threw it? Like, I don't know.
That's what the internet says.
Yeah.
Is he the fall guy?
Well, no, someone else. Never the fall guy.
Right, no, someone else's buddy will be the fall guy, right?
How have I not seen a video of this yet either? It's 2024.
Yeah, well, there probably wasn't a lot of people upstairs.
Oh, yeah, it's invite only, right?
Probably. You know, just him and his buddies, I would think, you know.
I've only been to two parties in my life where, well, it's obviously invite only, but then when you get there, they take your phone from you.
Uh-huh.
And you got to sign stuff.
Right.
Maybe Morgan's party is something like that.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. And you're getting a little backlash on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Yeah, people are mad about me about wrestling.
People that like wrestling, they can also, like, have friends and have girlfriends also.
Yeah,
like, why can't they, in your mind?
There is an exception to the rule, I guess. And
there's a few of them out there.
I guess Zach Bai's the only one. Right? Zach's the guy.
There's a few more.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a few more. A few more of them. Okay. Eclipse people. Okay, here we go.
All right, I like this.
Who's weirder, Eclipse people or wrestling people?
Oh, wow, that's a great question, actually. Ah, it's Eclipse people.
Absolutely. It's not even close. Because I don't think, I don't think the majority of wrestling fans are weird. I think... majority of them are they're fine,
yeah,
right. They're but Eclipse people, mm-hmm. like those are the weird ones.
Yeah, I agree.
Really weird. Not that you not like you want to see it, whatever. Like that's fine. But some people go to extremes.
Mm-hmm. This texter writes, "I'm not into the Eclipse because I have a job."
Well, yeah, there you go.
Which is pretty good, right there. Yeah, I'm sorry if I made you mad, but I say what I think, man, and this is just where we're at right now, right?
That's it.
If you like wrestling.
We all did at one point, though. Like, you used to like it?
Yeah.
Right.
And then I turned 11.
Well, goodness.
Oh.
I mean, some people just hold on to it. They just continue to like it. I'm not knocking them.
Dude, I'm a 39-year-old that skateboards. Who don't have any room to talk.
Right, exactly.
So, come on.
Why didn't I say that?
Yeah, right?
Goodness.
I get it. This is all fun, you know? Rip me for skateboarding at 39. I can rip you for watching wrestling at 49. It's a two-way street here, texters. All right. We're having some fun here. We're talking about eclipses and WrestleMania here on the show. Let's talk about some college buckets.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Caitlin Clark. Let's talk about tonight's game, the matchup between UConn and Purdue. Let's start with Caitlin Clark. Let's listen to Caitlin Clark talk about losing a national championship game for the second year in a row, but proud of where they were.
Yeah, it's certainly been a special year. And to be honest, like after last year, I was kind of like, well, how do we top doing what we did last year? And somehow, some way, every single person in our locker room believed, and to be honest, this year was probably more special than last year. You know, the teams we had to go through to get to this point, you know, we won the Big Ten tournament, We lost two players that were three-year starters for our program, and to be back in this position and come out here and battle, I mean, South Carolina is just so good. Like, there's only so much you can do. I mean, Cardoso has 17 rebounds. They have 51 as a team. We have 29. Like, hard to win a basketball game like that. You basically got to shoot perfect at that point. And, you know, I'm just proud of our group. We, you know, we never back down.
So that's Caitlin after the loss. And look, that's a great way to say it. You know, she's absolutely right. South Carolina is just the better team. As we're watching South Carolina get back on campus as champs with the trophy and their sunglasses on, looking all sweet and champion-y. The game itself, like I said, they start 10-0, and it looks like, man, this is going to be a heck of a battle here. Caitlin's going to do some work and put a team to the test that hadn't really been tested all year. But as she said, in that second half, South Carolina just pulled away. They were just too good. Caitlin, she honestly forced a couple threes late, but at that point, what do you want her to do? She needs to start chucking those things up as often as possible. And that's it, man. She had a hell of a basketball career. She's done more for women's sports than any woman in the history of women's sports, and now makes some of this stuff appointment television. Does it translate to the WNBA? We will see. But, man, what a college career for Caitlin Clark. I'm hesitant to say GOAT because she didn't win a national championship, but I'm not taking away of how great she was and everything she did for the game.
Yeah, I mean, what a run the last 2 years. You know, to bring that style of basketball to the women's game where people wanted to see it. Like, that's impressive, the way that she can just take over a basketball game. And the way she can shoot it from all over the court was fun to watch. It was awesome. And, you know, really good team, obviously. And got back to the finals again this year after losing last year to LSU and just couldn't finish it off. You know, obviously their team, you know, from top to bottom wasn't what South Carolina is. And that's why South Carolina was undefeated this year. But I still think for her, the run that she went on the last couple years and the attention that she got this year and still able to deliver night in and night out, that's just so impressive. And I get it, she didn't win a championship, but to me, that's secondary. That doesn't need to be at the top of the list if you want to be one of the greatest to do it or the greatest to do it. You're playing with teammates in a sport that, you know, if you don't have the right people around you, it's hard for one person to win a championship, you know, and that's the way that I view it. So, but all around, It was a fun women's college basketball season, and it was because of her. So WNBA, you know, we'll see. I know Diana Taurasi's hating the former Connecticut player. She's already hating, which is like a head scratch. Like, oh, what? Really? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark's been nothing but good for the game. And but she's do we have that audio?
Yeah, let's Diana take a Taurasi? Listen to Diana. This is after the game, and she's on with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter.
Look, SVP, reality is coming.
Okay.
You know, there's levels to this thing, and that's just life. We all went through it.
Of course.
And you see it on the NBA side, and you're going to see it on this side, where, you know, you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. Not saying that it's not going to translate, because when you're great at what you do, you're just going to get better. But there is going to be a transition period where you're going to have to give yourself some grace as a rookie. And, you know, it might take a little bit longer for some people.
So, yeah, it's Diana with Scott Van Pelt kind of taking her shot. I like what you said. She's being a hater a little bit of, I don't understand this at all. Like, lift her up. She's done more for the game of basketball than you've ever done, Diana. You're great, but nobody cared the way they care about Caitlin when you were doing it.
Yeah, I mean, who really cares what it's going to look like? And, you know, will there be a transition period? Okay, whatever. That doesn't mean that what she just did wasn't a one-off in college basketball, wasn't spectacular. So when that time comes, if there is that, then there is. Okay, whatever. We'll see what her WNBA career looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she said reality is coming, to me, is like, oh, really? How do you know?
Right.
Like, how do you know? What if it just continues to be greatness from Caitlin Clark? So it's like, I get it. You know, she did play in the WNBA, and there's another level there, but what if it's just more greatness from her on the basketball court? So I don't know. That to me was a little bit childish and shows maybe jealousy because, you know, Diana Taurasi, one of the best college basketball players to ever do it.
Heck,
and she's
yeah.
in that
maybe
conversation. But she never had the impact that Caitlin Clark had for whatever reason. And she won some championships and was unbelievable. But to me, it's just like she's going out of her way to drag her down in a moment where we should be just lifting her up. Like, I get it. She didn't win the championship. Haters are going to hate.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It still doesn't, for me, take away from her career and what she was able to accomplish. And I think, you know, it's just silly when some people will just try to, you know, look for things to bring you down or take away from you. And it's like, I don't know. I think everything that she's done has been pretty dang good the last mm-hmm. couple of years, especially for women's college basketball.
I can't believe I'm going to do this, but to quote a tweet from Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, wait, what?
Old heads just be hating.
There you go.
You know?
Oh, my goodness. Mark me down for I didn't see that one coming today.
Yes. A Jerry Jeudy tweet quote right
That's
here.
That's right, yeah. from That's, Josh Dover.
It's an old head just hating. On the young people out there in Caitlin Clark.
That's a good one, though. I think that's pretty spot on.
She won't do it, but I would actually pay if she Caitlin were like, oh, is that how Diana feels? Why don't you come try to guard me in my pro day at Iowa? And loser has to shut up forever. I'd love to see that.
Let's go one-on-one.
Little king of the court, Diana Caitlin. I know where my money is. All right, when we get back, let's go to Coors Field. Chris Bryant, the struggles continue and the Boo Birds came out. How did he feel about it? He'll tell you next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Rockies will start a series with the Diamondbacks tonight. Kyle Freeland's back on the bump trying to get right for the first time all year. But I want to talk about what the weekend was.
So we're playing the Diamondbacks again?
Yeah, already, right?
Goodness gracious.
It's already going down. And it will be Kyle Freeland. That's a whole conversation that we're going to have a bit later on in the show. You go back to the weekend real quick. Ryan McMahon's walk-off on Friday, probably the best moment for a home opener ever. Saturday, they get Ryan Feltner on the mound, and dude was dealing. Stoke, Feltner had 10 Ks. They hadn't had a Rocky starter have an outing with 10 or more strikeouts in 3 years, and Feltner was able to do that. But the problem is they gave up all the runs after the seventh inning and find their way to lose. And then Sunday, you have a pitch dealing on the other side where the Rockies just couldn't get anything going and were shut down by the starting Rays pitcher. Also on Friday, you had Chris Bryant struggling, still struggling, in fact. And we had the conversation on the show Friday. Hey, you think the Rockies fans would boo Chris Bryant if it gets away from him on the home opener? And a lot of the conversation was, well, this isn't a baseball crowd that's going to be down there. How many of them are actually aware of the struggles that Chris Bryant has to start this? Well, it turns out, Stoke, lots of them. Because his first at-bat ended in a strikeout, and they booed him at that moment. Now, we're going to talk about what it is, where he can bounce back, if he can bounce back. But first, let's hear from Chris Bryant after the game talking about, hey, being booed in the home opener as the, you know, quotes around star player for the Rockies.
It's all part of it, you know. I try to practice what I preach and kind of what I'm telling these guys. It's just, you know, it takes courage to show up every day in this game. This game teaches you a lot of downs. You know, but just showing up and putting in the work, and, you know, I know that I'm out there giving all I got, and at the end of the day, you know, that lets me put my head on the pillow, you know, and feel good about myself. But, you know, I know I have three boys waiting to give me a hug right now, and, you know, that really makes anything that this game, this year's pretty easy to handle that.
That's kind of the right answer. There's something else I would have loved to have heard in there.
I like going to the kids.
Yeah, he's got his kids.
Yeah,
they love him.
Yeah. You throw that in there.
It's hard. I feel like, I don't want to rip them, but.
No, you can't rip them when you say, you know, I got three little boys that are waiting to give me a hug, and they don't, you know, like, oh, okay. But that's not what we're talking about here.
Would they hug him harder if he got a hit? I guess that's my question.
Probably so.
Would they be happier when you walked in the door if you weren't 0-for-4?
I think so.
So, look, and like I said, that's an easy play for him to make. I would have kind of liked a, look, I'm frustrated like you're frustrated.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're holding me accountable because I have to be better than this. Where's that at? Where's the accountability of, you know what? I've been bad. And I expect more out of myself. Obviously, this franchise expects more out of me because of the contract that was given to me a couple of years ago. And I haven't been good enough. But instead, you got your three boys at home waiting to hug you when you walk through the door. Now, that's pretty weak, Chris Bryant.
Yeah. No, I think you're hitting the nail on the head there. And it's just like take some ownership. It just hasn't been good enough. We all know that. We all seen it. Just take ownership. Hey, I'm working to get better. I need to be better, and I'm going to keep working to be better. And that's really it. You know, you don't have to start throwing the family in and this and that and this and that and this and that. You're going all over the place, right? It's to me, much rather hear what you said there. And I don't think he helped himself before the season during training camp with his comments. Right, we can't forget those comments when they were asking him about picking the Rockies and him saying that he wished he would have done more homework, right, and more research. And so, like, you stack those comments with a guy that can't hit the baseball and is the highest paid Rocky on the team. It's not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are asked about being booed, you own it. And you just talk about how you need to be better, and you're going to go to work, and you're going to get better. And that's really all you need to say. So a lot of explanations, excuses, and just other stuff that have nothing to do with you struggling at the plate, you know, I'm sure, you know, grandma's going to give you a hug too, right?
Right.
Why don't we throw grandma in there?
Yeah.
And your wife will too. Okay, yeah, we get all that. We get it. But still, it's like that's not what we're judging you on. We're judging you on, you know, how you're doing at the plate, how you're doing in baseball. And so it just hasn't even been close to being good enough. But he certainly didn't help himself with those comments in spring training. Those were bad. Mm-hmm. It was a bad look. And then you back it up with this type of start to the season. I'm glad Rockies fans are realizing what is going on. And at a certain point, you got to hold guys accountable. And that's what it seems like they're doing here. All good.
Yeah. And look, I'm with you. I think it's great that the fans showed up and gave the boo birds. I'm assuming they're going to stay on him if he can't figure this out sooner rather than later. It's not only the comments that he made, how bad he's been, and you look at, all right, that's supposed to be the best player. Well, it's actually a 37-year-old Charlie Blackmon that's on, I don't even know if you want to call it the back nine. He's on hole 18 of the Major League Baseball career. He's actually been the best player. Then you look at your ace that's supposed to be Kyle Freeland, who's pitching tonight, who's been your worst pitcher so far. It's just all these little things, man, that are adding up. And I don't know if I even said this on air yet. We were thinking about going to the game tonight, Stoke.
Yeah.
I don't have power at the house. That's back now. Shout out. But, hey, let's go to the game. We ain't got nothing to do. I think the tickets were $17, $18, something like that, after taxes. That's after the service and all that stuff. $18 to go sit 12 rows up down the first baseline tonight. I think this is the year, man. Now.
So you're going or not?
Nope, not going.
Oh.
Got power back.
All that, because you didn't have power. Yeah, that's why you were looking. Okay.
Right.
All right.
So I was going to say I think this is the year where we'll actually start to see some of the numbers dip. But it's also April, and it hasn't reached 80 by noon yet. And when that comes, I think that could play, obviously, a part into, it's 6 o'clock, I can walk up and get tickets. Let's bring the kids to the ballpark on a Thursday.
Yeah, to each their own. I'm not, that doesn't bother me at all, unfortunately. Like I said, the Rockies have to earn my viewership. And so we'll see if they can. So far, of course, they haven't. And I think the big storyline tonight is Kyle Freeland. He's had a historically bad start to the season. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to spin it or put it, and he's 0-2, and he's his ERA is extremely high. I got it pulled up here somewhere, and it hasn't even been close to being good enough. I mean, it was close to 40 after the first game of the season.
I think it went down to 27.
And now it is that what it is?
I think that's the last time I looked.
Well, it's 27 on the dot. after two games, so 17 earned runs And so it's we'll see. We'll see what it looks like tonight from him. Hopefully he can get back going. I mean, obviously he's a good pitcher. He's not this bad. So he's the one that was your opener. And hopefully he can get this thing going back in the right direction. But I think that's the storyline here tonight, is seeing what he looks like in his third start. First two have been as bad as it can get.
Yep.
And, all right, Diamondbacks again, that's where they gave up, 14 runs in the third inning of the opener?
Went through the rotation twice, the batting lineup twice.
Well, that's who they got again tonight, so.
This is an interesting comp, we got it a few different times from different texters, talking about Chris Bryant and his, you know, bringing up the kids thing. He feels like Jerry Jeudy, just never really going to be a part of the team. And then another texter says, that's a Russell Wilson answer.
Yeah.
Bring up the kids.
Right. A little bit,
yeah,
right?
It is. Of like deflecting everything and bringing up I'm a family man and I do this part the right way.
Right, you're asking you about one thing and then, you know, the plane gets up in there and then it just starts going all over the place. Like, no, we didn't ask you about your kids. Nope, we didn't ask you about that. Oh, no, and just kind of going all over the place and you know, really not answering the question all that well. So, yeah, I think for me it's more of a Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm. More of the Russ?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is a good one from Nate. He says, hey, JD, does Chris Bryant re-injure himself on the second or the third son's hug?
Wow. Wow.
That's a good shot right there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Nice work, Nate, dog. All right, let's take a time out, come back. Want to get into
fans
a conversation.
Fans don't care. But like most of the fans, like especially if Rockies fans are booing you that soon, like save the kids talk.
Right.
Save it. Save it. The hug. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, must be nice. All right.
Bad baseball player, good dad. You give him a break there, Rockies fans. All right, let's talk about the Ball Arena Bros. Who needs the number one seed more to make a run in the postseason? We're going to kick that around next.